All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. Exodus, chapter 8. Exodus, chapter 8. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 20, verse 20, Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. All right, you follow along as I read. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send a swarm, or I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen." Now that's where the children of Israel were living. He said, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Now, would you just stop and think about that for a minute? Doesn't that give you the gooly books just thinking about it? Be honest. Oh, mercy. I mean, that is just so nasty. All right, look at verse 25. "So after the swarm came, Pharaoh called for Moses," verse 25, "and for Aaron, and said, Go ye." Now, watch this carefully. "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, now did you catch what Pharaoh said? "You can go, but don't leave Egypt." All right, just don't leave. You can go out of Goshen, just don't leave. Don't leave. Stay in the land. All right, so verse 26, "And Moses said, It is not meet so to do." In other words, no, that's not what God has in mind. That's not what God wants us to do. God does not want us to stay here. If you will, look back there a minute, he said at the end of verse 20, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." He wants them in the land of Canaan. He's not talking just serve for the moment. He's talking let them go so they can leave Egypt, go to the land that I have promised to their father Abraham, and live there so they can serve me. So Moses says in verse 26, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God." Now, what does that mean? Well, hold your place here for just a minute and go back to Genesis 46. Let's just let the Bible interpret the Bible, okay? Go back, hold your place there in Exodus 8. But go back to Genesis 46, just the previous book, and look at verse 33 and 34. Genesis Verse 33 says, "And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen." Now watch. For every, what's the next word?
Shepherd.
For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now folks, listen. The children of Israel were shepherds. They were shepherds. And so over here in the 8th chapter, Moses said to Pharaoh, no, it's not meet for us to just go a little ways and worship, because the sacrifice that we're going to offer is an abomination to the Egyptian people. All right, so he says, lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? Would they not turn on us and kill us if we offer sheep as a sacrifice, if we sacrifice to our God? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Comma. Oh, and by the way, look at your Bible. I'm going to aggrandize it a little bit here for you. So Pharaoh said, oh yeah, you can go, just don't go too far away. And while you're out there, pray for me, would you? See how spiritual he got all of a sudden? You know, it's easy to get spiritual when you're chastened beyond comprehension, is it not? Oh, he didn't mean that at all. He said, entreat for me. And Moses said, verse 29, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. All right, let's pray together. And I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on this subject. Go just a little ways. Go just a little ways. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for what we have seen tonight, and Isaac getting baptized. What a blessing. And Lord, I pray your continued hand of blessing upon him and his life. Just thank you so much for bringing him here and for his obedience to the gospel and to follow you in believer's baptism. And I pray you'll bless him richly tonight. And Father, we thank you for these young people singing tonight. What a blessing they are to our hearts. And I pray now that you will bless as we open the Word of God. And may the Bible instruct us and help us this evening. Father, I pray that we will get direction from the Word of God that will shape and mold and help us in our viewpoint, in our perspective. And so, Lord, help me tonight as I speak. And I pray that you will empower the message from on high and use it to make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, earlier in the book of Exodus, and I'm going to take for granted that you know the story here for the sake of time tonight. But God told Moses that he was to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead them into the land of promise, the land that God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Now, the pictures in all of this are just amazing. They are endless. And I could stand here for the rest of the evening and just give you picture after picture and show you all about our salvation and about our Savior. I mean, the pictures are just endless. One of the things that you need to keep in mind here is that the children of Israel were strangers in a foreign land. That land was not theirs. It was a strange land, as the Bible calls it. And it was not their land. God did not promise the children of Israel the land of Egypt. He promised the land of Canaan to be the land of the Israelites. Now, in all of these pictures throughout the Bible, Egypt is always a picture of the world in the Bible. It's always a picture of the world in the Bible. Whether it's Old Testament, whether it's New Testament, it doesn't matter. Egypt is always a picture of the world in the Bible. And God did not want his people in the world. Now, let me just stop right there and say, today, God does not want his people in the world. All right? We are to come out from the world. The New Testament is very clear that we are to separate from the world. And I'll have more to say about that in a few minutes. But God did not want his people in the world. God had a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a land of promise and a land that he had chosen for them. And his desire was that they live in that land. So Moses went to Pharaoh, and he did what God told him to do. He told Pharaoh that God, Jehovah God, had said that Pharaoh was to let the children of Israel leave the land of Egypt. They had been there for over 400 years, and it was time for them to leave and go to the land that God had promised them. Now, Pharaoh did not like that. He did not like the idea of Israel leaving, and he hardened his heart against God's wish. So God told Moses to go down and stand before Pharaoh and his court and let them know that a series of plagues was going to come upon the Egyptian people. These plagues, if you study it out, these plagues were a direct attack upon the gods, the system of gods, false gods, by the way, but the system of gods that reigned in Egypt. And eventually, the country of Egypt was literally disgraced and humiliated before Jehovah God. God just sent these 10 plagues upon the Pharaoh and upon the people, and the gods of Egypt were shown as powerless because they were powerless. And so the gods of Egypt were shown as powerless and as false and as helpless. Now, as these plagues began to unfold, Pharaoh starts to crack ever so slightly, but he begins to crack. In our text, in the part that we read tonight, God, for one of these plagues, sent swarms of flies to cover the land. Now think about that. Flies everywhere you look. Just swarms of flies. I hate flies, don't you? And they're so annoying. And just think about it. Flies everywhere you look. I can be sitting in my house watching a ball game, relaxing, and all of a sudden, bzz, 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 and I go into war mode. I mean, I just cannot sit there and, you know, you see people just go, you know, I can't do that. Man, I mean, it's up, It's get the fly swatter. It's run all over the house chasing that thing if I have to. They drive me nuts. So the Bible says in verse 24 that the land was corrupted. Wow, think of that. I mean, can you imagine how this must have just devastated Pharaoh? So he calls for Moses, and when Moses came and said that they wanted to get out of Egypt and sacrifice to Jehovah God, in verse 28, Pharaoh said to him, "Well, Moses, you can go, but I don't want you to go very far." Look at it. Look at verse 28. It says, and Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far." I'll let you go, Moses, but don't go very far. Now, I read that verse and it occurred to me that is exactly what the devil wants out of each and every one of us in this room tonight. Oh, I'll let you go to church, just don't go too far into church, you know? I mean, just do church light, okay? Don't get all serious with this stuff. Now, don't get all wrapped up in your Bible. You don't need to do all that. Don't get wrapped up in the soul winning stuff, okay? You can go to church, just don't go very far. And that's exactly what the devil would have us do. Yeah, go ahead. Hang on now. Get the picture. Here's what the devil is saying. Yeah, you go ahead and have your church service. Just don't get too far away from the world. That's what he's saying. Just don't get too far from the world. Don't leave the world. Don't get the world out of you. And folks, I'm telling you, the older I get, the more aware I am of the influence of the world upon us. We are bombarded by the world everywhere you look, every single day of our lives. Everywhere you look, television, music, magazines, Hollywood, the places we shop, the malls, you name it. I mean, the world is everywhere. Egypt is everywhere. It literally is everywhere. And it seems like we can almost hear the devil whispering in our ear, "Yeah, go ahead and worship your God, but don't go too far away. Don't get too far away." And the devil was telling Moses, "Go ahead and worship, but stay in Egypt. Just stay in Egypt." Now, folks, if I understand my Bible, we are to come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord. If I understand my Bible, we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if we love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. I mean, I believe that's in the Bible, is it not? And if I understand my Bible, we are to love the Lord Jesus and honor him in everything we do. And our hearts are to be stayed upon the Lord, not stayed upon the world. But boy, it's hard to find a Christian anywhere today whose heart is not in the world. It's just hard to find. And Pharaoh said, "Well, you can have your God, but I want you to stay in the world." Hey, folks, let me just stop right here and tell you that that's what this contemporary movement is all about. Now, that's what it is. I mean, it's the world, and then you throw a little Jesus into it. That's what this modern Christianity is all about. It's the world plus Jesus. I tell you, God's not in it. God's not in it. And I'll tell you this, if you're in Egypt, you're not going to be interested in soul winning. And if you're in Egypt, you're not going to want to read your Bible and pray and seek God's face. You're not going to want to do that. If you're going to stay in Egypt, you're going to stir up the passions of your depraved heart, and it will feed the lust that lay just beneath the surface. And then the devil is going to whisper in your ear, yeah, it's okay, you just stay right there where you are, but whatever you do, don't get too far away from the world. Be careful, Christian. Be careful. Now, let me say just a couple of things about this. Number one, this is a constant battle that we must fight. It's never going to let up. The world is not getting better. The world is getting worse. And we know that to be true, don't we? You see, Christian, the devil knows that once you're saved, he cannot do a single thing to change your eternal destination. He knows that. Once you're saved for eternity, and nothing can change that. So what the devil wants to do is come at you with everything he has to keep you weak and fleshly and carnal and just as worldly as he possibly can. That's what he's after. So the devil wants you to stay in Egypt. You see, if he can keep you in Egypt, then he's got you. So he just says, yeah, you can go worship, just don't go too far. Brethren, listen, that is why. Now, I want you just to think this thing through. Don't just sit here and say, oh, yeah, Pastor, he's this dinosaur. Before you say that, think this thing through, would you? Would you just think about it for a minute? That's why I make such an effort to keep our church on the straight and narrow. Amen. That's why. You can't imagine how careful I've got to be with everything that goes on around here. I mean, you just can't imagine. I've got to make sure. And God given me the strength and the wisdom to do it. I've got to make sure that the devil doesn't sneak in and get his foot in the door. It is something that I'm constantly watching. And I've got to constantly make sure the devil doesn't get us wanting to go back to Egypt. Because that's exactly what he'll do. Let me show you how the devil works. Go over to chapter 32 for just a minute. Go over to Exodus 32. Now, look at verse 1. It says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods. Uh-oh. Now, folks, let me just stop right here and say that it was a good thing when the preacher was up on the mountain with God. Well, that was a good thing. But what happened was the devil knew that Moses was gone, and so he put some things in the heart of the people. And Aaron wasn't quite as strong as Moses. So look what happened. It says, the people said to Aaron, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, I'm sure after much prayer and contemplation. Verse 2, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your, what's the next word? Sons, shame. And of your daughters, and bring them unto me. I got a question for you. Where did those boys learn to wear earrings? In Egypt. You're welcome. You say, well, I can't believe you said that. I did. And all the people break off their earrings, verse 3, their golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. Well, I bet God was impressed, don't you? Isn't that something? Pastor Moses is up on the mountain, and while he is gone, his next in command, Aaron, got the people to make a golden calf. From their earrings, they brought them to Aaron, and he made a golden calf. And when Moses came down off the mountain, he saw them down. I'm not going to take the time to read all this. You can read it for yourself. But when he was coming down the mountain, Joshua was halfway up the mountain, and he met Joshua, and Joshua said to him, Moses, we better hurry. I'm telling you, it's on down in the camp. Something's not right. You see, Joshua could hear the music, and he could hear the party, and he said, something's wrong. And when Moses got down there, he saw that the people were singing the worldly music, and they were naked, and they were dancing around the golden calf, and they were drinking. Let me emphasize, they were drinking in the name of God. They were drinking in the name of God. Are you listening? Yeah. Question, where'd they learn that? They learned it in Egypt. Where'd they learn about worshiping a golden calf? They didn't learn that from Jehovah God. No, they learned that from Egypt. The songs they were singing, they were Egyptian songs. And folks, that is exactly what the devil tries to do, to weaken and destroy our effectiveness and to ruin our testimony and to get us away from the truth. And I see some of these young people walk down these aisles when they're at home under mom and dad, and when they're in Carroll Christian schools or when they're in the Hope Oversight Program, and they'll walk down these aisles when they're 16, 17, 18 years of age, and they'll surrender their lives to full-time Christian service. And then all of a sudden at 18, 19, 20, they go nuts. And they want to get out in the world. And they want to sample the world. You better be careful, young person. You better be careful. You remember the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And if God has called you into the ministry or into full-time service of some kind, for you to say, oh, I'm going to go out into the world, you're just obeying Pharaoh, not obeying God. You better back it up a little bit there, Skippy. I'd like to take some of you and just shake the daylights out of you. Because you don't know the path of ruination that you're on. And you're going to destroy your life. Now, I'm warning you, and it better stop, or I'm going to go have some talk with some parents. I probably ought to do that anyway. You say, well, how does preacher know? Listen, folks, I don't know how I find this stuff out. People just come and tell me stuff. I think a lot of it is confession. I'm not a priest. But man, a lot of people, they email me, they call me on the phone. They'll say, Pastor, can I talk to you? Pull me to the side and they tell me stuff. And I go, oh, man, what did you tell me that for? Now I'm accountable for it. Now you better straighten up. That's my point. You listening? Amen. You better straighten up. Now there's a God, and that God's watching you. And he's trying to weaken you and destroy you so you won't hit a lick for God in the future. And that's exactly what's going to happen if you stay on the same path you're on. You're welcome. You say, I'm never coming back. Well, you got the truth while you were here. Amen. If you never come back, you know the truth. Are we having fun yet? Oh, go ahead and go to church. Just don't go too far away. Go ahead and go to church. Just don't go too far away. I'm telling you, folks, the devil's real, and he knows how to come at you. I stand up here for 1 hour to 4 hours, depending on how many services you come to. And I open this Bible, and I teach you, and I preach to you from this Bible. I get 1 to 4 hours a week. That's it. That's not a whole lot, is it? 1 to 4 hours. And the rest of the time, there's a world out there that occupies the rest of your mind. I'm kind of out overshadowed. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible when you go home during the week. That's why I encourage you to get involved in some area of ministry where you can serve the Lord. You see, don't you understand that the devil has established an Egyptian network of discipleship? That just as I stand up here and teach and preach the truth of God's word, the devil uses his media, his network, to reach into your heart and literally bombard you with his message. And I just don't understand why we have to copy Egypt. I just don't understand it. I mean, I don't get it. It's not attractive to me. You say, well, you're just an old fuddy duck. I know. I'm glad I am. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. I got saved out of that. Amen. I got saved out of that. I got saved out of rock and roll music. I'm not bringing it into my church. I'm not bringing it in here. That's Egypt's music. I'm not bringing it in here. That's the world's music. Why do we have to dress like Egypt? Why do we have to act like Egypt? Why do we have to talk like Egypt? I don't get it. One verse and I'll try to quit. Go over to 1 John. I know we got communion tonight, but it's only 5 after, so calm down. 1 John, let me show you a little verse here. 1 John chapter 2. Now, I didn't write this. I want y'all to understand that I didn't write this. But I'm going to read it to you. And it's in your Bible. So look at verse 15. Chapter 2, 1 John 2, 15. Love not Egypt. The world. Love not the world. You ready? Neither the things that are in the world. You say, well, what's that? Well, how about the world's music? How about the world's wine? How about the world's vodka? How about the world's scotch? How about the world's whiskey? How about the world's beer? Hey, cool guy. How about that? God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Watch this now. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know what that pride of life is? Cool. Oh, man, I'm cool. Oh, he's so cool. That's the pride of life right there. You just throw it all away to be accepted by somebody else. For all that is in the world, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now watch. The world is passing away. The tense that this verb is means this. It is continuously in the process of passing away. Now, the liberals would have us to believe that the world is evolving into a, we're evolving into a golden age one day. Now, we know that's not true, don't we? I mean, my goodness, anybody with half a lick of sense knows that. No, we're not getting better. We're getting worse. Our world is not evolving into a higher level. We are devoluting instead of evoluting. All right? So here's the world, and it is continuously in this process of passing away. And so here's a Christian, and he is not to love the world. He's to love God. He's to be over here where God is. But the world is drawing. So here's what we do. We bounce from God to the world. Oh, it's Sunday. Wait a minute. Got to go over here with God. Hey, God, how we doing? But then Monday, Tuesday, oh, it's a weekend. Got to go over here with my buds and drink some bud and be cool in the world, you know. And so he's over here in the world. And then, oh, Sunday rolls around. Got to go back over here and be with God again. But wait a minute. The world is continuously in the process of passing away. That means the distance between God and the world just keeps getting further and further apart. And after a while, you're going to get tired of running back and forth. Wonder who's going to win. You're going to get over here one day and say, you know, it's such a long way back. I believe I'll just stay over here. That's what happens. I've asked hundreds of them, what happened? Oh, well, and what happened is they just got tired. They got tired of the struggle. You know what James says? You ready for this? James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's a double-minded man? It's a man that has one arm on God and one arm on the world. And he can't decide which he wants. Oh, on Sunday morning, when everybody's looking, he wants God. On Sunday morning, he wants God. But then on Friday, he wants the world. That's a double-minded man. And he's unstable, James says. Folks, I'm telling you, there's a real world out there. And the devil wants you to stay in Egypt. Don't do it. You've got to get out of Egypt. If you're going to be effective, if you're going to amount to something, if you're going to be spiritually minded, if you're going to have God's hand on you, if you're going to have God lead you and guide you and use you, you got to get out of the world. You can't hold on to God's hand with one and a bottle of wine with the other. Now you just can't do it. You say, well, I can handle it. No, you can't. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think, that you can handle it. You can't. Nobody has ever been able to handle it, and you won't either. So make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? This is why 20 years ago, down here in Annapolis, they called and they said, you got to take a license to run your school. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, now we demand it. I said, no, you can demand all you want. I'm not taking a license. And they said, but sir, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I don't need Egypt telling me how to run a ministry of my church. Carroll Christian Schools is a ministry of the Church of the Open Door. And I don't need the state of Maryland telling me how to run a ministry of my church. You can still operate your church and your school, just do it under our rules. I said, no, sir, I've got a rule book. I don't need yours. Oh, man, I mean, we went round and round and round for weeks. You said, well, what happened? Well, it's 20 years later, and we still don't have a license to operate. You say, were you operating illegally? Probably. Probably. I don't really know. And to be honest with you, I don't really care. Amen. Folks, we just need to realize what the devil is up to. And we need to realize he's got all the bases covered. How many times have we sat down and let the television set preach to our kids? How many lessons have they learned? We send our children to Egypt's schools, and then they come home asking, what does this mean, Mommy? What does this mean, Mommy? Or they tell the joke of the week at dinner table, and you just floored when you hear it. When you hear the punchline, where'd you hear that? At school. You can worship, just don't go too far away. You can worship, just stay in Egypt. And folks, that's exactly what the world wants you to do. You know what our heart song ought to be? Take this old world, but give me Jesus. Our banner song ought to be, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.